UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John's studios, keep it locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Welcome to the V Show here on this Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Presented by Universal Windows Direct. Glad that you are able to spend some of your day with us. I didn't walk. I watched the game at home, but I'm watching the game last night. I have to start with this because, you know, I'm reading texts from Lock Show before ours, and there's, you know, people will decide what they want to decide if you are, still pissed off about Brom not coming or whatever. In other words, if you have an agenda, anytime you lose 35-17, you can spin it with some degree of negativity if you want to be. And I'm not, and you know, the danger, of course, is nobody wants to be known as a honk. But the fact of the matter is, I left the impression from the end of that game were extremely positive. And I just think you're being really unfair, to be honest with you, and looking at it through, you know, I try not to, listen, I root for Louisville, but I try not to look through rose-colored glasses when I get behind this microphone. And so I try and look at what transpired. And all I know is, I think that the impression I got from watching last night was a completely revitalized football program. That's my impression. The fans were energized. The players played their asses off for the whole 60 minutes. I didn't see any quit in them at all. That offensive line that was much maligned more than held their own. That is a very highly respected Notre Dame defensive front, and they did very well there. I think Scott Satterfield, in his very quiet way, really sent a lot of messages, you know, with being friends with Will Wolford like I was for many years and talking to offensive linemen. They will all tell you, I have never met an offensive lineman who says, I'd rather pass block than run block. They all would rather run block. The difference between coming off the ball and trying to knock a guy on his ass as opposed to the snap of the ball, having a guy run at you and spending 7 seconds trying to keep him from killing the guy standing behind you. And there's a certain amount of, I don't want to over-dramatize the word, machismo in running the football. It says, here we come, and we're just, it's a physical game, and we're coming after you. And Louisville absolutely ran it down their throats for much of the game. I also think, very quietly, because he does not go blow his own horn, the fact that they played so well early was a great indication of how well they scripted their plays early. I think they did a really good job of that. I think I was impressed with the offensive play calling. And Satterfield, of course, calls the plays. I don't want to get into a let's talk about the past regime kind of thing, but it's difficult Because if somebody were just dropped in from another planet and said, why are you going on and on about a game where you, the other team doubled your score? I mean, why? Because if you contrast it with what went on before, it's night and day. I think they had one penalty. They had too many men on the field, I think. But that happens to everybody. That's an occasional thing. It wasn't the systematic things we saw last night. There weren't the breakdowns that we saw last year. It was none of those kinds of things. They played with a discipline. They played with good coaching. They played, and the creativity of the play calling. I mean, the end around option pass, which very easily could have been a touchdown. This was the kind of stuff everybody was celebrating under the old regime. Oh, he's an offensive genius. And he had a lot of these same guys, right? Didn't he? I mean, with the guys that were involved were the same guys that were here last year. And we never saw any of that kind of creative play calling. I mean, that play should have hit, and he had spent the whole game setting it up. They did a great job in the reads on the option, and this is a whole different offense, a completely different offense. So these guys all had to learn everything from scratch. You know, guy says, yeah, Notre Dame was a little jacked up early, and then from that point on, Louisville took them by surprise. They scored 3 points the rest of the game. Okay, that's a take, and you know what the take is for that for me? Notre Dame is as good as advertised. They're a top 10 team in the country, so that's what I take from that. But did I see Louisville quit or stop making efforts? I didn't see any of those things. And the defense made some plays. They got, I mean, you saw the stat. What was the stat Fowler read last night? They had as many three and outs last night as they did like the last four games of last season or something. I mean, that's what you were starting as. That's the foundation that you're talking about building. I don't want to hear about that. I want to see, you know, the great pitching coach in baseball, Johnny Sain, used to say, the world doesn't want to hear about the labor pains. They just want to see the baby. Okay, there's some truth to that. But the fact of the matter is right now, this is a situation where if you don't take into account where they started, you're not doing justice to assessing where they are. That's my takeaway from it. I mean, there was a stretch. They were very close. They were, you know, that little flurry of fumble in the end of the first half from going into the locker room tied at 14. I mean, they were out of almost every game last year by halftime. But in the second half of the year, they were done. And I look at what transpired the first week, and I in college football, and Fowler was flabbergasted when Herb Street said, "I was really impressed with this." And Fowler was like, "Really? You saw nothing?" And I was like, "I was, Chris, what are you doing?" I was impressed as well with a lot of things that went on here. And he said, "Yeah, I could see them possibly competing for a bowl game," which at the beginning of this year, and look. Let me temper what I'm going to say here in a bit. At the beginning of this year, I mean, I would have thought that's crazy. As I said earlier, if they get to 3-4 wins, that's quite a marked improvement from last year. But here's the difference, because people are going to say, wait a second, you remember last year, and you can put me in this group, people were getting on the air after the Alabama game and saying, boy, they were really competitive. You know, but the fact of the matter is, I didn't get the same vibe from that. I never got that kind of vibe early in the year last year. We were, to some degree, trying to put a bow tie on a pig. And I wasn't doing it deliberately, but you were looking for the positive spots. And that was because you were giving Alabama the massive respect that they deserve. They're a dominant, steamrolling kind of program. So you walked out of there, and Louisville didn't get completely annihilated. So you said, hey, yeah, that's great. But they never really had stretches in that game. They had stretches last night where they were dominating the game. They were outplaying, and it wasn't like, oh, they outplayed him for one play. I remember, this is my frame of reference all the time. Older Louisville fans will remember this. Everybody was all excited. Remember the year when Ron Cooper was coaching and Penn State came into play at Old Cardinal Stadium? And early in the game, Louisville hit like an, I don't know, must have been like an 80-yard touchdown pass. They just went for a bomb. They went for a fly pattern. A guy hit him in stride. They scored, and the stadium went nuts, and everybody was like, wow, maybe they're going to compete with these guys. And then they wound up losing, I don't know, like 55-7 or something like that. And the point was, they had one good play. That doesn't tell you anything. Louisville did not have one good play yesterday. They had stretches where you watched them run their offense. And Herbie does a good job of explaining what you're looking for. Look at the read here. And you watched him build, which is what football coaches do. You know, they run a series of plays that's going to set up this play later on. And then that play is going to set up that play. And then you're watching how they're reacting to when you ran this play. Hell of a job with that. And they did a beautiful job building up to where, they were just making it so they were so concerned about the speed of Tutu flying around the corner there, that they got options off of that. They respected him so much, then pass could run. And then the one time they were so concerned, they knew everybody was going to come up on him on the fake end around, and he was a quarterback, you know, in his high school, and he had a guy open. If he makes a little better throw, it's probably a touchdown. And I was like, yeah, this is fun. You know what? Before you wig out here, okay, this is actually going to be a point about Louisville football. So before you lose your mind and have to die for the phone, he's talking baseball on the Mets again. But here's the analogy. The Mets are probably not going to make the playoffs. They're probably not. I mean, they could. They're still in there punching. But there's so many teams ahead of them that that's what's going to make it difficult. And there's only a month to go. It's probably unlikely. But the fact of the matter is, it's been fun to follow them the last 2 months because they're competitive. They got within a half a game of the wild card. They're playing good teams tough. They swept the Indians, who are one of the best teams in baseball. And so you walk away and you say, boy, that's a whole hell of a lot better than the dreck they put out there when they couldn't get the batting order right. They got, you know, an automatic out for batting out of order, and they were the second worst team in the league, only ahead of the Marlins. So you say, is that all, you know, that people give you, is that how low the bar is? That we're going? No, of course not. But you have to build from where you were, and especially in a college football scenario, much different than in a major league situation where it's salaries and free agents, stuff like that. You've got to build. So they are a lot more fun to watch now than they were then. They've been a fun team. They've got some star power. That's exactly what I see with this football team. There's some kids are going to emerge as stars, and they're showing signs of life. You know, you can't, again, make analogies. You can't build a house unless you put the foundation down that's going to hold everything else up. And the foundation is effort and focus and teamwork and spirit and determination. And all that may sound corny, but that's absolutely the truth. And that's exactly what this team was woefully missing last year. Not to mention that you do have to wonder about, you know, the staff. They just, based on how the players performed, they looked so ill-prepared. It was a mess. So now you're laying the foundation. You know, you don't ever congratulate a guy. And he said to his team, we're not here for moral victories, but right now they could use a little loving. They could use a little guy to say, and that's exactly what he said to them. I'm proud of them. And he should be proud of them. It's a very, very good team with a crowd that was eager to see what was going to happen, but I don't think they came with a great belief. It was almost a, hold your breath and... And all of a sudden, they started to see signs of life. That first drive was very impressive. They got a three and out after that. They scored a second touchdown. They were on the move for, you know, possible chance at another score before they fumbled. They were signs of life, and there may be guys that are going to emerge as, you know, real stars. I mean, Juwan, I don't know. We'll see how well he throws the ball consistently, but you know what? Satterfield loves to run it, and he's a running quarterback, and he ran well last night. He made some exciting plays. Yeah, he made some mistakes. Think about where he came from. Here's a kid that probably wasn't confident enough to tie his shoes last year with the abuse that he endured because of negative play. And he came out, and, you know, the two touchdowns, pretty darn good. That's a pretty significant step in the right direction. Now, did he try and do a few too many things later on? Yeah, maybe, and he fumbled. But you know what? This is all part of the formative steps to get back. You try and build, okay, you did this really well, this really well, this really well. Here's a mistake you can eliminate. Here's a mistake you can eliminate. You know what? Last year we didn't even see that. Here's the things you did really well. Here's the things you did really well. It was all negative, 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 negative. And, you know, that. And to be honest with you, that's not let's just dump that on the media or something. It was negative. They were terrible. But that was some very encouraging signs of life there. And because of that, I think there's things to build on. And I think he sent the perfect message. He said to his team, you know, we're not here to get moral victories. But the fact of the matter is I'm really proud of the kids and the way they played and how hard they played. And
But overall, I told our football team, we're not into moral victories.
There you go.
We're trying to win football games. And, you know, we wanted to win bad tonight. And despite all the odds and all this and that, we wanted to win bad. And, you know, our kids continue to fight like that. We're going to get better every week. And so I'm proud of them for that.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly the message that I say, you know, I said to you, I listened to it as a coach. That's, and I said to myself, what would I say to my team there? It doesn't mean I'm right, but it's easy. You can see my enthusiasm. That's exactly the message. We're not in it for moral victories, but you know what, fellas? You keep bringing that kind of effort and that kind of focus and that kind of determination and that kind of spirit and that kind of never, you know, don't quit. Ishness, I'm making my own term up there, they're going to get better, and if they get better, they're going to win some football games. And Tutu Atwell is going to be a fun guy to watch. He's only a sophomore, and you know, he's a guy that's going to be a lot of fun to watch going forward. He's got a tremendous, spectacular talent. It's going to be fun to watch passes continued development. And I was, the guys in the trenches who rarely get any of the celebration deserve a lot of credit. You know, they stopped them on a bunch of third downs. They had a whole bunch of third down stops, the defense. And the offensive line did a nice job opening some running holes. It was just, it was very, against a very good team. A very, very good team. And, you know, that was a big, big step forward. So that's nice to, see. Them have taken a big step forward. A guy texted me, see, I told you U of L has talent. Let's not lose our minds. Nobody was suggesting all the players were complete bums, but the fact of the matter is one of the reasons the game wound up 35-17 is you watch Notre Dame just bring wave after wave of, you know, four-star players, high school All-American kind of guys out there, and Louisville's got doesn't nearly have that kind of depth yet. And we have to see. Hopefully they'll avoid injuries, and, you know, teams will now see a little bit. They'll adjust, and now the question is how well does Louisville counter-adjust? All those things are part of the dance. They're part of the journey. But the fact of the matter is, compare that with what the poor people who paid all the money to watch what went on here the last year especially. I can't say the last couple of years, although the year before it was disappointing. Last year was an absolute unmitigated disaster. That's a great step forward. An absolutely great step forward. So, again, as I said to you, you know, you're not going to persuade me to see it differently. The last staff left a train wreck. And so if you want to be, you know, loyal to them, guy says, thank you, Bobby, for leaving talent on this team. Okay, like I said, you will choose to see it how you choose to see it. I'm just telling you, as a guy with no real dog in the fight, other than as a fan, they left a train wreck is what they left. And the fact of the matter is these guys are doing a really much better job of getting it on the rails and first steps to do that. So, again, like I said, people will see however they want to see it, and that's your business. It's opinions are opinions. But the fact of the matter is it was, you know, I'm seeing it already. The people who already decided before the game, you know, we didn't get Brom. This guy's a bum. So I got that take. Well, you know, what happened to the rest of the game? They sucked the rest of the game, okay? Well, you know, Bobby was really the guy. It's Bobby and Tom and the old crew and blah, blah, blah. So anything good that happened last night now is attributable to them. Okay, whatever. See it however you choose to see it. It's my show. I'm telling you how I chose to see it and how I do see it. Not choose to see it. I do see it. The thing tonight is the thing that I see after last night is this is a team that has re-found its heart and its determination and its spirit. And that I dump right at the feet of the coaching staff because from talking to some of the people that were involved last year, for whatever reason, the Florida State game got dumped right at the players' feet when, of all the games, you could have easily second-guessed some things that went on from the coaching staff. But they tried to distance themselves from it, and that's very difficult to put a team together when the players feel like, oh, we win, but you lose. That's what the coaches are saying. And he lost them. And they turned, and they quit, and he quit, and that's on the staff. So it's a good start for these guys. And very happy for the coaching staff, very happy for the players who had to endure that miserable, miserable year. I'm very happy for the fans. Extremely happy for the fans. Great turnout. Big, big crowd. Very loud. And, you know, you look at their schedule, and based on what I saw early in the year, I mean, they certainly should take care of business against Eastern Kentucky. You'd think against Western Kentucky as well. Florida State is a game that could be a season maker because based on what Florida State did on their opener, I like Willie Taggart. He seems like a very nice man. He came on the show with us, but I don't think they're going to be anything special this year. They get Boston College at home. I'm not sure what to make of Wake Forest. You know, the NC State's going to be a very good team, but they get them at home. They get Syracuse at home, and then they have to go on the road to Kentucky. There's you know, if they take care of the directional schools, the Eastern Kentucky and the Western Kentucky, and that's no slap at them. It's just games that Louisville should be favored in. That's a couple of wins. Could they get two conference wins? Yeah, I think they could. I really do. So there's your four wins. And you can say, well, big deal. What, are you celebrating four wins? Yeah. After last year, an 0-4 in the league and 30 and 40-point blowouts the last month of the season, yeah, I would celebrate four wins. I think that would be a remarkable achievement. And that's not to say they can't spring an upset somewhere else along the line. You know, that's the other thing. They've got obviously some good teams coming in here, but they got home games against teams that if they spring it up, if they keep playing like that and get better and can stay healthy, I think they could spring an upset or two. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays. A lot of questions to get answered going forward. You know, we'll see what they do with Cunningham when he comes back. He's a great runner. And based on last night, this is a guy that's going to embrace as well he should. You know, the ability of his quarterbacks to run the football. So I think that's a certainly encouraging thing going forward.
Got a question.
Wait, why don't you want to? Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and then we'll get to some Satterfield sound. I want your thoughts on this. I mean, it's going to sound silly, but that was a team that came out on the field thinking they could win that game. I hope that doesn't sound like, well, yeah, duh. But I mean,
let me interject one second though, because that's part of the problem is last year Bobby told everybody they could beat Alabama too, and there's a sense of that's exactly right. You can't go on it. You can't play any game and take the field and feel like, oh, we got no chance to win. But I think that part of the problem last year was they hadn't done anything to back that up. They hadn't built that foundation we talked about. They were undisciplined. They weren't well coached. There was not the cohesiveness that we saw last night. So that doesn't tell me much when a guy comes out, you know, and says, "Well, we can win." I mean, to talk is
cheap. Well, I mean, that's coach speak.
But I think that they came out with a good spirit. That's what I saw, and I didn't see it get shaken by last year. As soon as something went wrong.
Yeah, well,
the wheels flew off in every direction.
That's what I was going to say.
Last night, something went bad. They were like, okay. And you saw that with the coaching staff. He was obviously playing a big part of cheerleader, for lack of a better word. And that's part of what you do. That's part of what you do. I don't care. You may have the best technical mind in any sport you coach, whatever it is, basketball, football, whatever it is. But if you don't get the players' hearts and you don't get them on the same page, and you don't get them displaying that determination through adversity, it's absolutely worthless. Worthless. There's not a play out there that is going to be make your team win when they don't have their heart in what they're doing, they don't believe in each other, and they don't believe in you as a coach. And that was on display for the better part of 2 months last year. Last night, they played a very good team, national TV. You can easily curl up in the fetal position and think, oh, here we go again. And instead, they just sucked it up and kept playing. And that's the first step in building it back where you want to build it. And you cannot overstate the importance of that. You cannot overstate it. Impossible. No matter how important you think it is, it's more important. I'm telling you, that is what I'm amazed that there have been guys at every level that have been able to do that. You can't not know the game. I mean, you can't go in there and be a complete jackass when it comes to strategy. But there have been some great coaches that were adequate tacticians, but were spectacular motivators and confidence builders and guys that can create a vision. And that's what leads to success. And football exemplifies that probably maybe as much, if not more, than any sport out there. So, anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wouldn't put a lot of stock in they looked confident at the start of the game. I mean, that's...
No, I know, but I'm saying, to build on your point, that I think it was, what was it, second quarter, when there was that fumble, and it was like, ugh, man, kind of derailed them, and I was thinking, like, all right, here's the tipping point. Here's when Notre Dame opens it up, and then it was fun while it lasted. Yeah, it was a fluke. They were working the kinks out. You know, we came out guns a blazing now. And then they forced the fumble. And I went, holy spit. Like, that was not how it was last
exactly.
year at all.
Then they made another mistake.
They gave up a fumble. And I was like, okay, there is still work to be done. But my question is, they came out and they were like, we're not just going to not get embarrassed here. We're going to try to win this thing. And we think we can win this thing. And the first couple of drives had definitely reinforced that feeling. However, now that they did unfortunately lose, they played really hard. They did cover, depending on where you bet. Going forward, though, like, is there going to be any wind out of the kids' sails? I mean, you've coached before. When you get really up for a game and you think, hey, this is a statement game, and You dipped your toe in the, I mean, one or two turnovers less. And I know I said the same thing with Locke. If ifs, I screwed it up then too. If ifs and buts were candy and nuts,
it'd be Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, you can't say that, well, without this turnover and that turnover, we would be winning and everything. But I'm saying they actually had a chance. They had a chance. How do they build off of maybe that disappointment?
Okay, that's what I was going to try and tell you. You're making too much of that. When you get bogged down in minutia like that, then you miss the essence of what the game was really all about. That is, you know, if I could just have this, I used to say at the end of the year, which was true, to make a point of how competitive you are. If you just give me five baskets to drop where I want during the course of the season, instead of having 17 wins, we have 22 wins or whatever it may be. That may be true, but it doesn't work that way. And how about the shots that the guy missed? But the point of the fact of the matter is this. To answer your other part of that question, which is the more relevant one, is how do you keep everybody in that same positive vibe? And the way you do it, I think, is that's why I made such a big deal about that message. The message is, hey, we're not happy that we lost. We're not here just for moral victories. If you said that, then they don't think, what's the matter? You don't think we can win games? No, I have faith in you guys. But if you just dump it at their feet again, oh, it's just like last year again. We had it down. We could have gone in a locker room at 14 and you jackasses made two mistakes. There we go again. You're in that same boat. He walked that perfect line. Gosh, guys, we're not here for moral victories. But you know what? I'm proud of you. And if you keep working with that level of effort and intensity and focus, we're going to get better. And if we get better, we're going to win football games. You focus on the process, not the end result at this stage, because the process, not to do the Philadelphia 76ers thing. I'm not talking about that tanking games for draft picks. I'm talking about every day learning to work hard, coming in and working very, very, you know, I liked his strategy of the field goal. 42-yard field goal, not a chip shot, but even the announcer said, boy, this is, you know, a piece of cake for Creaky. That's great. That's the mindset you want to send it. By doing that, they only needed one more touchdown to tie the game, ostensibly, mathematically. They were down 11. Touchdown, two-point conversion, a field goal, it's tied. You had a better chance at that than going for it on fourth down, not making it, and then needing two touchdowns. You could argue, well, he still needs two scores, but there was decisiveness and confidence in his kicker, and it builds a culture. And I walked out of there and said they had a culture last night. Somebody texted me and said this offensive line fits Satterfield's zone blocking scheme very well. They were impressive. Great, take that away. You go in the film, you show guys. Last year, remember all the films we showed with you guys getting plowed over and just getting annihilated? You know, look at this. Let's watch this play. Watch that. You can't just focus on the positive. I mean, make no mistake about it. For all Louisville's success early, Notre Dame again was averaging, 10 yards? There was one stretch they were averaging 10 yards a run. I mean, this is a team that gave up historically bad numbers against the run last year. But again, you know, they got better. That's the thing. If you want to focus on something, focus on that. They made adjustments. They got better. There's actually a sound bite from the coach about that. Cut number 12. Coaches did a great job making adjustments. And, you know, he's talking about probably their team. I didn't hear this cut, but I'm guessing he's talking about Notre Dame. But that's what football games are all about. It's adjustments. And their defense adjusted. They made some third down stops. Rob sent me the defense caused more three and outs in the first half than all of last season. I don't know if that's statistically true, but it's probably not far off. So let's listen to Satterfield here.
So I think our coaches did a great job making adjustments on the sideline. No, what I was proud of is the way the offense answered. You know, it's a team game, you know, so we're all trying to play off of each other. And they went down and scored, and then our offense came right back, right down the field and scored. I thought that was a great answer. That gave us confidence. I think, you know, when you're playing a game like this with, you know, playing a team that's you know, really good football team, you want to be able to answer. You want to have some positivity to happen to your guys. And so we went and scored. That inspires the defense also. They go right back out and they, you know, start playing better.
That's how I saw it. And I also mentioned this. Somebody just texted me something. I don't know if they didn't hear the beginning, but I said the same thing. I was, to credit the coach, I mean, I don't know, maybe did Louisville score a lot of points early? I don't remember that. I always heard that was the genius of the, you know, the last coaching staff. And the when they score, because all football coaches script the first, you know, the two dozen, 30 plays, whatever it may be. And when the scripted plays at the start of this game, Louisville looked great. Now, you can say, okay, after that, they didn't get much done. But the fact of the matter is, this guy, you know, that's what his job is, to maximize what he's got. He does not have the kind of talent that Notre Dame's got. But they got him off to a great start. And I think they're going to have some stars emerge. I mean, Tutu, what an exciting player that kid is. I mean, that's a guy that you can get excited about watching him play. and they could do a bunch of stuff with him, and I love that they were running them on ends of rounds. That option pass would have been spectacular. That would have been a defining moment of the game. And there's a lot of things to hang your hat on. There's, you know, yes, they got more than doubled up on the score, and they were able to run the ball on them early, and, you know, they didn't score a lot of points late. They had some – nobody said they were perfect or it was a perfect game. I'm just – I really believe you either have your head in the sand or you don't – you have a vested interest in not wanting to give this team credit. If you could walk away from watching what went on last night and not – have been encouraged for the what you saw. I was extremely encouraged by what they did, how they did it, how they came together, the spirit they showed, what the coaches did, the adjustments they made, the focus, the discipline. They didn't have a lot of foolish penalties. In fact, Notre Dame had a bunch of undisciplined penalties. The offsides, how many offsides do they get before the snap? And that happens early in the year. I think their quarterback, remember, this is the first opener he's played. And he looked like he was a little outside his, you know, he was a little too amped up. So it happens. They're kids. They're not Stratomatic cards. You know, they have emotion. But, boy, I was just, it was fun to watch them. It was maybe the first time it was fun to watch them in a couple of years. And, you know, and the people, like, they were making a little too much about fans leaving. I didn't particularly like that because they had 54, whatever, thousand show up. And there were a lot of people who still stayed. And you know what? If you don't want people to leave before the end of the game, then don't play on the night of a school night and a work night with a kickoff that starts at 8 with games that take 7 hours. I mean, this is college football. I mean, they shouldn't start at 8. They should start at 7. They should probably start at 6 if you want to get people home before midnight. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the fans were terrific, and I was happy to see them get rewarded for.
It was,
you know,
a big hoopla over the third down music, how they changed it from that Van Halen, and I don't know what the final one was.
Michael Bublé now, or what?
I don't know what the song is. It's like Spire or something like that. I'm not sure. But Biscuit actually tweeted it. It said, "For those of you who were wondering, what the third down song is, it's this," and a lot of people couldn't hear it because the crowd was so loud.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was one end of the stadium was really loud and they couldn't hear the, you know, they had an offensive breakdown, they had a false start. It was a good night. And, you know, it's like I say about golf. If you play golf, and sometimes, you know, people play, and as they will do, I know you may probably, and it's hard to believe, they play for money. And if you got you're paying for birdies, what a lot of times they'll do is they say you have to validate it. And that means that, you know, if you make a birdie the next hole, you've got to make at least a par or you don't get the money. So Louisville's got to validate this now. They got to come out of the game. I believe they're 24. Oh, by the way, how about that for – New York Mike's happy because he wound up getting another win. But if you had bet 18.5, you lost on the hook. I'm amazed how often that happens. That's amazing. So
one of my siblings that happened to.
No, was he sad?
He's not happy.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for betting against Louisville. That'll teach you. All right. Well, are we going to do a round table? Where the hell are the guys?
They're in the meeting. They got started a little late. So.
And when Jason was here, they didn't start late. We'll take a break. We'll come back.
Really?
More to come. ESPN 680 1057.
Listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Great text here. Great texts, plural. Let's address some of them here. We'll do a roundtable probably at the top, I'm going to guess. Hopefully. I don't know if Locke's going to be able to stay that long, the lying liar.
You excited about the draft tonight, by the way?
I am. Look, I got my own I even wrote a magazine this year. Where did I put it? Where's my magazine? Oh, no.
Leave it at home?
No, I hope I didn't leave it out there and somebody thinks it's like the offices. It's mine. We have to go to break. I got to go look for it. I need that magazine. Tonight, the Amtrak's Northeast Car to Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta will be involved in the draft here. Very excited about the expanded marketing opportunities.
He's gotten very good at that.
Yeah, well, that's our name of our team. They put a, you know, sponsorship they expect to be mentioned, and my love of trains and Amtrak's Northeast Corridor, the most successful quadrant of the country in terms of trains. So it's opened us up to being able to draft not just the dreck that is part of the Giants and the Jets, but equally inept teams like the Bills and the Redskins. The Eagles are in there as well, and the Patriots.
And the Ravens.
The Ravens. We might actually be competitive this year.
That reminds me.
Excited about that. And then we also are eligible to draft anybody of Italian-American descent, because that's why Ronzoni's in there. Want to hear a great story about how my new food? My brother Jim got an endorsement deal from Ronzoni. It's really a guy. It's a guy. I don't know if he's passed away now, but the guy who Ron Ronzoni. It's his name.
Oh, it's Ron Ronzoni. It's not Ronzoni.
No, it's Ron Ronzoni. And they asked my brother, "Would you endorse the pasta?" And he said, "Yeah, fine." He said, "Let me ask." You know, said Mom, they would like to see if you'd say something or whatever. She said, "Well, I don't use it." He said, "What are you talking about?" She said, They changed their recipe. It's different. It's too starchy now. When you cook it, the pot just bubbles up and the whole thing's all starchy." And my brother very sheepishly went back to Mr. Ronzoni and said, "My mother will not extend her endorsement because she said you changed your formula." He said, "She's right. We did. And we're changing it back because it was exactly what she said. It was too starchy." So they changed it back. They sent my mother a case of the whole new pasta, and it was good again. And then we started using it. I don't know if Ronzoni's available around here. I'm not sure. It was largely in the Northeast, but I think I've seen it in some of the stores around here. But anyway, doesn't matter. They're a part of the team here, so we're very excited about that. So tonight with the 9th pick, we'll find out who the Amtrak's Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta takes. So it's going to be very exciting to see how that plays out. Here are the texts. Good ones. To your point about the crowd, the first quarter didn't end until after 9 p.m. It's no wonder people had to leave early. And that's my point. I mean, it's just TV's paying the bills, and that's great, but don't be pissing and moaning. And if people leave, they have their lives. They can't professionally go to football games. It takes a while to get out of the stadium. Not everybody lived 5 minutes away from the stadium. I mean, you're getting home at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You got to get up and get your kids off to school and get to work at like 6:30. Most people don't want to go to work on 4 hours of sleep. So I'm sorry. I agree I agree with the people who say it's too late. It is too, and if not, make the damn game shorter. It's just ridiculous how long they take. They're almost four. And last night was a relatively quick game. I think it was like 3.5 hours. There's a whole bunch this year that will easily teeter on 4 hours, easily. By the way, to that point, I love this. This is another sign I liked about what Satterfield did. I don't know, this thought that he was going to shorten the game somehow. I watched it when they took the only way you can shorten the game in football is to try and create fewer snaps, obviously. You run the ball and you create fewer snaps. And that means that you take as much time between plays as you can. And I watched that first drive. They were snapping the ball with still like 22 seconds left on the play clock. So obviously they weren't artificially slowing the game down. I like that, too. It's another message to your players to say, listen, you know, we can't play recklessly, but we're going to play. We're playing football here. We're not going to come and just junk the game up. So that was impressive. Louisville fans are commended for supporting the new staff and players by going to the game. A new culture of human respect goes a long way to energize a team. That's from a texter I know is not a big fan of the past regime, but I do think there is a new culture here, and it's nice to see the hopefully at least some element of the fan base embracing it. You can include me in that group. My only issue with what you're saying is this. We came away from the Alabama game saying the same thing. I mentioned this. You must have joined us late because I addressed that earlier. I agree with you that we said it, but I don't think the tone was quite the same. We were really, I don't know what the word would be. We were really hunting last year when it came to Alabama. We were really, I don't remember any stretches of the game where they were being just having the ball run down their throat like Louisville did last night. I don't remember the defense rallying with three and outs like that. The result of the game, I don't know, what was the score last year? Somebody said that it was only 14 points at halftime as well. Oh, no, I'm sorry, excuse me, I misread the text. So, yes, I addressed that. The guy was referring to the Alabama game elsewhere. He said 90% of the teams I watched this weekend struggled in the first half. Hell, even Alabama, with one of the best offenses of all time, had 14 points at halftime. So, I think that you could say about that, again, you can interpret that how you want to, which is, well, you know, Notre Dame was not good, and that's why Louisville was able to hang around. And then once they got it going, they dominated them late. But, again, I don't think it's the same vibe as Alabama, because I don't remember any stretch of the Alabama game last year where you got the impression Louisville could win the game or was really outplaying them for stretches. And they really did. They really had some stretches there, especially in the first half, where they were outstanding. And even in the second, if they didn't quit at all, and that is more contrasted with how they played at the end of the year. But somebody said they got doubled up because of the fumbles from Puma. Statistically, they played even with Notre Dame. I mean, that's the point. Again, you were looking at it however you can. Statistics are, you know, people use statistics the way a drunk uses a lamppost for support, not illumination. And so you're going to be able to spin this, if you want to choose to spin it negatively, you can. I'm not choosing to spin it positively. I'm telling you what my impressions were when I walked away from this game. And my impressions were that it was a really, really impressive starting point, especially when you contrast it with the train wreck that was the end of last year. Last year we had 27 rushing yards. This year, 249. Okay, well, there's a stat. That's the whole point. So I look at it and I say this is a – unless you think Notre Dame is completely fraudulent, and I don't. I mean, they're a good team. Their quarterback, as I said, you want to look at it from their side, I'm sure their talk shows are – boy, the quarterback was, you know, was – it's his first opener. Remember, he took over halfway – or not halfway, but in the middle of the – during the season last year. And so, you know, he was probably amped up, and he missed some guys. He missed some reads. There were some guys open. He was dialed into the wrong side of the field, all of those things. So, yeah, nobody's going to play perfectly even in the middle of the year, but certainly the first game, there's some element of that. But you just didn't get the impression – I don't know. I didn't anyway. That even with Alabama last year, and I was one of those guys. I was like, "Hey, all right, it's a starting point." And you know, they didn't get completely annihilated. But really, as I said, you were putting a bow tie on a pig a little bit. And I realized that in hindsight. Now it's easy to say when we see how the rest of the year played out. Maybe we'll do that with this game. Maybe it'll be no different, and then we'll all come back here and say, "Look what we did. We all got excited that first game, and it was the same old." But I don't think so, because I still never got the impression that the spirit was. It's a very, very different vibe. The whole thing is a different vibe, and this guy's got a proven record of building this way. That's the other thing. You know, you're not betting on the come, as they say. You're not going on just sheer faith. This is what he does. He builds very, very systematically and very, I think, intelligently. And I think that's, you saw the first steps to this. These comments were, again, this is just me. So you could say, I wish he'd ripped them, and I don't know, whatever. I don't know why you'd say that. But my point is, you can react how you want to. But I love that he walked that fine line, which was, really proud of you guys. We're not here for moral victories, you know, because you're sending the message to kids, I believe you can win. But also you're letting them know, hey, this team needs a little love right now. This team is like the little dog that the old owner keeps smacking on the nose. You know, now you got to let them know you're okay. You're in a safe spot here. People care about you. You're with teammates that care about you. And we're going to work together, and we're going to get better, and those things will translate into wins. And when I look at what transpired in elsewhere in the country, I look at teams in the ACC and I say there's winnable games in there. So if they can hold serve against, you know, Western and Eastern, and I take nothing for granted. When you come off a year where you were 2-10, just because you played a good game against Notre Dame, that is what, you know, that may be the best way to validate, again, to use that term, what we're saying today, is if they come out and play well against Western and Eastern the next game, then Western, because last year they didn't play well after Alabama, and I was one of those guys. Remember, they played in that monsoon, and we wrote that off. Well, they didn't look good because the weather was so bad, and there were always excuses, and I admit, Locke, you know, when he's right, I give him credit, and they were the ones saying that you're making too much of the conditions. This is not a good football team, unfortunately, and I'm not being funny. It's the truth. They have a certain reputation of the boy who cried wolf. So when your reputation is you're just going on there and you're going to rip everything that goes on, you kind of dismiss it. Well, that's their brand. So they were taking a negative spin to it. But in hindsight, they were right. They were absolutely right about we gave them too much of a pass, no pun intended, for various factors. And now this year, if they come out and they could show discipline and focus and determination and get a couple of wins these next two games, I really believe it'll springboard them. They'll catch some people in the league. I really do. And that's if they could get two league wins and get to four wins after last year. And as I said, if you just – again, I'm not talking baseball. Don't lose your mind. But the perfect analogy is if you're a fan of a team like the Mets, that the fact is they were getting their rear ends handed to them early in the year, and they were no fun to watch. They're probably still not going to make the playoffs. It's unlikely. They could do it. It's not impossible, but it's going to be difficult. But the fact we're even having that discussion is great. I mean, how great if they were able to get these two wins, steal a couple of others, and you say, hey, I don't know, it's outside chance they could win a couple late, maybe get the six. It's unlikely, but maybe they could. You know, what a difference. And most importantly, the process. You're getting players that you know, Tutu's going to be a star, I think. He's really fun. And this coaching staff, I love the way they manage the game. I like their play calling. It was fun. It was inventive. They did a nice job. And Puma's going to get a little confidence back, I think. And who knows what they'll do with Cunningham. People keep talking about Cunningham. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but he's a great runner. And obviously, Satterfield will is encouraging the quarterbacks to run. So, we'll see. And the defense so impressively better than last year. I mean, even with all the problems they had early.
Is there anything that – because there were some pretty good texts that came in a little earlier today on the Midday Rush. Mostly positive, I would say. I think the critiques were definitely fair that did come down the text line for the most part. Very balanced text line today. But there were a couple things that – I thought we're fair in terms of maybe some improvement. One of them being shots downfield, and I was kind of revamping there because I was trying to remember where this text was and see if I could read it exactly. But would you have liked to have seen maybe a couple of deep field shots? Because I mean,
not if guys weren't open. I mean, they threw one in the end zone that the guy juggled. It could have been a touchdown. It was arguably a touchdown. Was the foot down? I don't know. And other plays, I think he was trying to go downfield. I don't think his receivers got any separation. And I don't want him throwing the ball up for grabs there and turning.
I mean, I'm not just saying hucking it for the sake of hucking it. But, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No. Well,
but they were running that curl play for the receivers. And that's still supposed to be the bread and butter of the team. And we have yet to see those guys. Maybe it's just like, it's like, oh my god, like the car's running again, like you have like a hot rod and it's like, oh man, it's running again, I really want to open it up. And it's like, not yet, but
I think he's going to take shots down the field. I think he had some plays where they were looking to do it, and I don't think the guys got separation. I don't think it's that easy. It's not like guys are
I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about like the Notre Dame secondary.
I think they did a good job, and Puma ran a little early, and then I think they still put a spy on him, and then the offense had trouble because the receivers couldn't get separation and Puma couldn't make any plays, and so they struggled.
But Seth Dawkins did make that top 10 catch.
That was a great. That's what I mean. I forgot about that play. Yeah, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be fun to watch. So, guy says, I agree, Bob. Not at one point were we in that Alabama game. We had a shot in the third quarter against Notre Dame, and that's the truth.
Yeah,
in the third quarter
totally
of this
fair.
Game, even the announcers are saying, this game's not over yet. So, I think that's absolutely true. Guy says, I'm happy the first game is now in the books, and that dumpster fire takes can extinguish themselves, and I'm damn glad U of L covered. Tell New York Mike thanks for me. Yeah, he's on a roll, New York Mike. I'm on the hook. Got a win. I drove for an hour
sure
for the game,
in.
Sat in traffic until 12:30, didn't get home until after 1:30, got to work at 6:30 this morning, and had absolutely nothing go right at work today. But I'd do it again for the environment last night. And that's what you're asking fans to do.
It was
basically
fun.
Yeah, it was fun. The stadium like that even came across on television. That way. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we're not losing our minds from the man who, offers the cake baking analogy to just about everything in life. We got this cake is not even remotely close to even being in the oven, let alone baked. But we got to look at some of the ingredients, and we're like, yeah, I think we got the ingredients to make a decent cake, and we'll see. So, this is the thing. That's the guy that last text. I'm glad the first game's over, and the dumpster fire takes can extinguish themselves. The only reason I'm reluctant to completely let those takes go is for this reason. that is what the reality of what the program was. And so if this guy wins four games, that's not a year that you'd say, oh, that's one of the great years in our school's history. Of course not. But if you don't acknowledge what a dumpster fire London after the Second World War environment it was, then you're not giving credit where it's due. So you can't completely forget that part of it, because I think they have a real chance to do that now. I think they get, as I said, the next two games are going to be crucial to validate what went on for game number one. And if they can do that, I think they can. I think they'll sneak up on some people in the league. I really do, based on some of these results we saw. And I don't know. We'll see about Florida State. I mean, like I said, I think Willie Taggart's a nice guy, but that's getting troubling, to say the least. So maybe, and Louisville had them beat last year. They should have beaten them. That's the game where the whole year fell apart. Could they go on the road and win that game? That'd be, now all of a sudden, people would be buzzing. So, but, they, you know, first things first. They got to take care of these next two games. They lose either of these next two games, they undo a lot of the goodwill they did early. It's the top of the hour. We are presented by Universal Windows Direct, the company that has a great offer and an unbelievable guarantee. The offer is it's free installation. You buy one, you get one free. But the guarantee is unbelievable. It's for as long as you own your home, 30 years to the next homeowner. And these are the most efficient windows you'll get your hands on, because they use aerospace technology called Super Spacer. Creates a better seal, keeps your home much cooler in the summer, much warmer in the winter. And that's because you're not paying for those utilities, that heating and cooling, to literally go out the window. It's an incredible seal. They'll give you a demonstration which shows you. It's amazing. They've got a blowtorch on one side of the window, and you got your hand on the pane of glass on the other. You can't even feel the heat. That's how efficient they are. They're also beautiful windows, well made, and they will make your house have that new home glow that you will absolutely love. So what are you waiting for? Don't pay. Winter's going to be here. You know, we're talking football. The cold weather's going to come. And when you start thinking about those utility bills, why would you want to pay for all that heat to go out the window? Plus, your house will look so. It's amazing what a difference it makes. New windows and doors, they do those also. So check them out. Get them to your place for a free in-home estimate. It is Universal Windows Direct. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Birdhead Ryan says, if I'm guessing correct, your team mascot will be an electron-looking meatball with a chef hat riding a train. That, if I could get an artist to draw that, I will print shirts up for the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta. That is.
Let's go up to the mascot place and get one made.
Oh, you want to go up to near Chicago?
Yeah.
Down for, my guess is it's like a computer thing where you have to push a button and your mascot will be a tiger. Then do you want to give them this? I don't think they're going to have electron meatballs riding trains. If they do, now you got yourself a story. But what about Biscuits Company? You know what they do? That's what they do. Don't they do all logo stuff?
I didn't know that.
Yep. That's what Biscuits working now. He's working for, isn't he working for a company that does all like shirts and things with logos and all that stuff? Did you not know that? You know Biscuit, they got big guys in the studio with me yesterday.
Dave. Talks about an actual biscuit.
No, that's not a biscuit. It's a man.
There's a man named Biscuit?
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's ESPN 680 1057.
His brother, Pop-Tart.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.